So, Kaur, have you heard the buzz around Microsoft's recent announcement? They're integrating the ChatGPT-based Bing experience directly into Windows 11. What a move.
Oh, totally, Jack. It's like Clippy on super steroids, finally becoming useful after all these years. Remember that old paperclip?
Aw, Clippy. I guess we can say it's coming back from the dead, but way cooler this time. Integrating ChatGPT directly into the operating system could really change how people interact with their computers day to day.
Absolutely. From what I've read, it's not just about simple commands anymore. This AI can help people draft emails, summarize documents, even help with coding. It's like having a mini assistant at your beck and call 24/7.
And then there's that 3D display startup, Out of Brooklyn Looking Glass. This one blew my mind. They're using ChatGPT to create interactive holograms you can actually talk to. I mean, we're talking Star Wars level tech here, right?
Yeah, it's sci-fi coming to life. Imagine having a hologram of Einstein helping your kid with their science homework or Shakespeare critiquing your creative writing. The implications are insane.
That's a cool way to put it. I think the real game changer, though, is Solana integrating ChatGPT into their blockchain. They're using a plugin to help onboard users into the Web3 space. As if blockchain wasn't complicated enough, now AI will be there to guide us through.
Right. Web3 and Ethereum have been pretty intimidating for the average person. Anything that can simplify the experience is a win in my book. But I heard Solana is facing some headwinds, especially in the Ethereum market, even laying off 20% of their workforce.
Yeah, it's tough out there. The blockchain world is highly competitive, and Ethereum has such a stronghold. But with AI integration, Solana might just find that edge they need to rebound. This could be the spark that onboards the next wave of users, making the complexities of blockchain more digestible.
Speaking of rebounds, I can't ignore the broader implications for AI in the workplace either. Big corporations are riding this AI wave, pushing it into everyday tools we use. It's both exciting and a bit daunting when you think about jobs and how they might evolve.
No kidding. Clara recently talked about the impact of AI on their workforce, saying they wouldn't need to hire as many service reps because AI is handling the workload. That's a significant shift in business operations.
It really is. Let's not forget the potential for AI to enhance our productivity. I mean, it's not just about replacing jobs, but augmenting them, making people more efficient and creative in their roles.
True. The optimist would say it allows us to focus on higher level tasks, leaving the mundane work to AI. It could free up human ingenuity in ways we haven't even thought of yet.
Exactly. And if companies can manage that transition smoothly, it could lead to overall better work environments and happier employees. But it's a balancing act for sure, keeping the tech in check while retaining that human touch.
And that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do we balance this incredible tech advance with the need to keep humans at the heart of our businesses?
I guess we'll just have to keep discussing it here on AI Unchained and see where the future takes us.
Absolutely. Kaur, the evolution of AI in our everyday lives is something we'll be watching closely. But for now, let's dive into some more specifics around how these integrations are shaping up and what that means for the average user. So, going back to the concept of a pragmatic choice in tech, it kind of reminds me of how Ding Liren chose to go into that 3-versus-2 endgame. It's like opting for something simpler to defend instead of risking a more complex position when you're short on time.
Exactly, Jack. It's a great strategy in both chess and tech. Sometimes simplifying things, even if the initial position isn't ideal, can be the safest bet when you have limited resources and time. It's all about weighing what you can manage versus the complexity you might face.
And speaking of tech, you see this a lot in business decisions too. Take the example of a company transitioning to a new software. It's not always about choosing the most cutting-edge option. Often, it's about what's going to integrate smoothly with their existing systems and what's going to be easier to manage in the long run.
Absolutely. There was this project I worked on where we had to choose between a flashy new AI tool and a proven, simpler system. We went with the latter. It saved us headaches and was ultimately more efficient given our constraints.
Right, and that brings us to the larger picture of AI advancement. You know, every time I watch these high-stakes chess games with these insane in-game decisions, I think about how AI and machine learning are helping both in chess and beyond. It's not just about making the best move anymore, but understanding and mitigating risks.
That's a great point. In fact, in business and tech implementations, AI can often help predict outcomes and suggest these more pragmatic choices. Just like how Ding might have relied on an analysis that showed the 3-versus-2 endgame as more defendable, AI tools help businesses make more informed decisions.
And it's fascinating to see how these decisions can play out in real-time scenarios. Whether you're in a high-stakes chess match or running a company, understanding your limitations and leveraging technology to predict and manage risks is crucial.
Exactly. And let's not forget about the human element. As much as AI and tech can assist, there's still the need for human intuition and experience. Like in Ding's case, his decision was also based on his own prior experiences and understanding of such endgames.
And is that intuition that can sometimes predict what AI can't entirely see? By the way, have you seen how the NES modding community has been using old tech in new ways? They're combining intuition and creativity to push boundaries, much like we're discussing with strategic decisions in chess and tech.
Oh, for sure. That nostalgic blend of old and new tech is a classic example of innovation through simplification. These modders are essentially doing what Ding did, taking something familiar and pushing it to new potentials, but in a controlled, manageable way.
And speaking of potential, let's not forget the whole concept of game theory, which is deeply embedded in both AI strategies and human decisions. It's about maximizing payoffs with the least amount of risk involved. How we apply these theories to tech, business, or even chess can change how we approach problems entirely.
It's really insightful, Jack, and it's one reason why we're seeing such a rapid pace in tech advancements. The combination of strategic thinking, bolstered by AI-driven insights, and armed with practical execution steps, just like in a simplified 3-versus-2 chess endgame.
And isn't it incredible to see that this practical approach is sometimes the real game changer? Knowing when to simplify and when to take a risk, that's the art of strategy. Whether it's Ding's chess game, the latest tech startup, or even in day-to-day business decisions.
Yeah, and it definitely shows that while technology continues to evolve, the human touch in making strategic calls remains irreplaceable. Even as we move into the future, some principles, like the ones Ding used, are timeless.
Absolutely. And it keeps coming back to the idea that there's definitely more to play for when you know how to balance complexity with simplicity and leverage both your human intuition and tech tools effectively. It's a winning combo.
Spot on, Jack. And that's what makes this ongoing evolution in tech, chess, and business so fascinating. There's always more to play for, more strategies to explore, and more innovations to come.
Exactly. Core and I can't wait to see what comes next, both in the tech world and in the next chess game we analyze. Always more on the horizon. So, Core, we've been talking about this second approach, right? It really seems like a no-brainer that we'll be implementing it sooner rather than later, especially after R2 Beta 2 drops. But I've got to ask, do you think users need this kind of protection in all their digital domains? Or is it more of a niche necessity?
That's a good point, Jack. Personally, I think it really depends on how people split up their digital lives. For instance, in my work domain, I definitely feel the need for such a mechanism. I mean, you've got sensitive info, client data, all that jazz. But for my personal or social domains, not so much. It's about knowing where you need the firewall up, you know?
Exactly. And speaking of partitioning digital lives, it's fascinating to see how historical tech attempts like Nintendo's idea of having home tournaments via the NES could have evolved. It's like they were almost predicting the future. A bit prematurely, though. Remember that Los Angeles Times piece from 1990?
Oh, yeah. Nintendo was thinking about integrating electronic banking, mail delivery, and even video shopping. That's wild. Of course, it was Sega who beat them to the punch with the Sega Channel. The ambition was there, but the execution took a while. It's kind of like what we're seeing now with startups struggling to balance vision and execution.
So true. I mean, look at companies like ServiceTitan. They raised a hefty amount in their IPO, but they have to manage paying off investors under some tough terms if they delay an IPO past next May. It's a pretty tight spot to be in.
It's like having an expensive ticking clock over your head. They need to get profitable fast, or those penalties are going to add up. On the flip side, we've got ventures like Weave, Grid raising significant funds for EV charging software. Shows you where investor interest is leaning these days.
Absolutely. And speaking of managing investor expectations, how about Baidu and Geely's joint venture in the EV space? They've got quite a bit on their plate, from searching for new funding to delaying vehicle deliveries. And it's not just them. Nita Auto is in hot water too, struggling with lawsuits and layoffs.
It's a tough landscape out there for EV makers. They're all vying for a piece of the pie, but financial stability is proving elusive. It kind of makes you question if rapid expansion is always the best strategy.
Right. It reminds me a bit of the decline of D-Base back in the 80s. They were once top dogs, but delays, bugs, and competition really knocked them down. By the time D-Base 4 came out, their market share plummeted because they couldn't keep up with standards like SQL.
Definitely a cautionary tale. If you can't adapt quickly, someone else will take your spot. Speaking of adaptability, how do you feel about Meta cutting jobs in their digital services group? It's like no tech giant, no matter how big, is immune to the need for periodic reshuffling.
True, but it's part of the game. The tech sector is in constant flux, and sometimes slimming down the workforce is necessary to stay nimble. But it can't be easy for those affected. Never is. Meanwhile, companies like Tumblr are also scrambling to stay afloat by restructuring and moving their back end to WordPress. It's about survival, really.
Exactly. And these financial moves aren't just confined to the tech titans. Look at Polovets and his defense tech fund. He's been very selective about his investors to avoid any international money that could complicate things.
Yeah, that's a smart move. You don't want geopolitical concerns muddying the waters when you're dealing with defense tech. And speaking of smart financial decisions, Superform Labs with their SuperVault is an interesting case. Leveraging user feedback to create a more curated experience is savvy.
You can say that again. It's a blend of listening to your community and being data-driven with product development. But Jack, did you catch Boland's remark about MetaMask and its potential classification as a financial product in Australia?
Boland is saying that if MetaMask is used primarily for payments, it could fall under financial regulations. That's a huge deal because it would mean MetaMask needs an Australian Financial Services License, AFSL, which is no small feat.
Absolutely right. The regulatory landscape is getting tighter and companies need to stay ahead or risk getting caught off guard. It's a lot like what's happening in Vancouver with the opposition to certain motions due to money laundering concerns. The scrutiny is real.
No doubt. So what do you think is the main takeaway for our audience from these discussions? Adaptability, proactive regulation management, or just plain old innovation?
Honestly, it's all of the above. In this fast-paced digital age, you need a bit of everything to survive and thrive. Be adaptable, stay ahead of the regulatory curve, and keep innovating.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's take a quick breather. We've got a lot more to unpack in this episode, folks. Stick around. Well, that wraps up yet another engaging episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot of ground today, from discussing the latest advances in AI technology and their potential impact on various industries, diving into the financial intricacies of recent tech acquisitions, to even touching on some of the political angles influencing innovation.
Absolutely, Jack. I think our chat on AI ethics and the responsibility of developers was particularly thought-provoking. It's crucial that as we push the boundaries of what's possible with AI, we also consider the implications and ensure we're moving forward responsibly.
Couldn't agree more. Core in your insights into the business side of AI, especially the market trends and what investors are eyeing, are spot on. Always fascinating to see where the smart money is going.
Thanks, Jack. Of course, we can't ignore the elephant in the room when it comes to AI legislation and public policy, which, let's be honest, always makes for some lively debate.
Absolutely, and it's not AI Unchained without a bit of fiery back and forth. Your point about the need for balanced regulation was solid. Even if I think the market has more self-regulating power than you give it credit for.
Haha, we'll have to table that one for next time. Also, a shout out to our listeners who sent in questions and comments. You guys are what makes this podcast truly interactive and interesting.
Yes, big thanks to our audience. Your feedback and participation are invaluable. We aim to make every episode engaging and informative, and your input helps us do just that.
So, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
See you next time. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Stay curious, stay innovative.
Till next time, folks, keep pushing those boundaries and questioning the status quo.